Hello, and welcome to another episode of Loving Yourself Completely. I hope you're all having a wonderful day. I wasn't even going to record today. It is Halloween. Happy Halloween. Today marks 7 years since we lost somebody very special to us, my father-in-law. And I really wasn't going to record today, but I can't seem to get my mind on anything else. Like I just, you know, it has consumed my brain today. So I figured why not have an episode solely towards mental health, depression, suicidal thoughts, things like that. So I want to focus on the fact that this is a huge trigger warning episode, and we will be discussing sensitive topics that might be distressing for some listeners. So if you're feeling vulnerable, please consider listening at another time or with a trusted friend or family member for support. It's snowing in the Midwest. It is snowing here today, which is just wild to me. When I'm looking out my window seeing, you know, the green, yellow, red leaves, and I'm seeing snow fall past them. So that is absolutely crazy to me, but all the more beautiful, I think. Today's episode is going to be different. It's going to be addressing feelings, getting through these feelings a little differently than our normal episodes because it's a little darker and can take a little more patience and understanding to listen to this kind of episode because it can be triggering or alarming or something that maybe you're struggling with too soon to hear this. So please take that in regards to moving forward on this episode. And I would love to know your thoughts and things like that afterwards. And I hope that this episode not only helps you in understanding that your feelings are valid, but in the sense that you can come out the other side of this if you are in the darkness right now with it. So welcome to another episode of Loving Yourself Completely. I am choosing to do this episode today because I can't seem to focus on anything else right now. I have a list of about 500 things I need to do today. I was not supposed to record just yet, but today marks 7 years since my father-in-law and my husband's father passed away 7 years ago on Halloween from suicide. And we've talked about this before. I've addressed it. I've addressed so much about mental health stigmas of mainly men who more so fear reaching out and kind of hide it. Most don't really express when they're struggling with their mental health, and just the kind of stigma that's been created around mental health that is just now kind of being addressed as a country, and feeling as though you have to remain strong and that it's almost shameful to seek help or therapy and there's a weakness behind it, which we all know is not true. I address it all the time as a broken bone that can be fixed with, you know, doctor's help and physical therapy and things like that. And so can mental health. It's overwhelming and it's hard and it's crazy. And you feel as though this is who you are and who you've become. And I'm here to tell you from personal experience, it is not. It is not at all. So that's what I want to talk about today. Before we get to that, I hope you are all having a wonderful week. My week has been great as we're moving into the holiday seasons. I've been pre-planning a lot to do with my boutique, which has been a little overwhelming and anxiety inducing for me just coming up to my first year open for the holidays and trying to, you know, dot all my I's and cross all my T's and make sure that my store is prepared to handle the amount of traffic that's coming through. And, you know, you want to give deals and you want to make sure that you're ahead of other stores and also that you stand out and things like that. So I have a huge plan. Of course, I'm an organized mess. I like to say that, but it has been a lot. I have a lot going on and I'm so excited for it. And I'm so excited for these episodes lately. We've now reached over 11,000 people. Absolutely incredible. I can't even put into words. The number just keeps rising daily. So I can't even keep up with it. So thank you so much for joining us. And I hope that today's episode can be helpful for you. And I do, I want to address mental health and depression and suicidal thoughts and recovery after you've lost somebody due to suicide. I think that's such an important thing to focus on. So much of the time we focus on what the deceased was going through and maybe what we missed, or we have a guilt, or there's so much you focus on. Or even I've myself experienced like imposter syndrome in the fact that I don't feel like I should be the one that was dealing with all this with even my father-in-law. Like, who am I? But yet it was left in our hands and I was just kind of helping figure it out. And I thought, am I even the right person for this? Who am I? I'm 25 years old. I had no idea the amount of grief and almost an overflow of grief from my husband that I didn't know how to process either. I think it's so important to talk about how people recover afterwards, whether it was a family member or a friend or somebody you knew for a short period of time, how much it can take out of you, and knowing that that is normal and there's nothing wrong with you. You're not a weak person for struggling after such a horrendous and horrific loss due to somebody who struggled with their mental health. And before we dive into the questions and things like that, I want to discuss one common misconception that we need to address is the feeling of being a burden when you're going through these struggles. If you're struggling with depression or suicidal thoughts, it's important to understand that you are not a burden. I know you feel as though if you exit yourself from the situation that others will be better off without you. But your feelings are valid, and there are people in life who care about you and want to help you. You can reach out to them and allow them to support you. I know you think, and I know this feeling because I felt a burden to my own family. Obviously, I was not. I felt a burden to my husband, to my son, to my sisters, to my entire family because I wasn't showing up. I wasn't doing the things, and they might have not have known how much I was struggling, but I did. And I thought, I can't burden them with my struggles, nor do I want to burden them to maybe make me feel better. Like, that's exhausting. And that's how you feel, but it's not accurate. So if you turn that around, again, as I always say, turn it around to your friend, as a friend coming to you, your best friend. How would you address them? How would you want to make them feel the kind things you would say to them? And I hope you have that support system that would say it back to you as well. So reach out and allow them to support you. Suicide doesn't just impact the person experiencing it. The thoughts and the actions create such a ripple effect across the lives of family and friends and communities. The aftermath is filled with grief, confusion, and such a sense of loss, of not understanding. Relationships can be strained as loved ones deal with such a guilt. It's such a guilt, and questioning if they've missed signs or could have done something differently. They just don't know. There's no questions and they all go unanswered. I know so many people get closure if people leave notes and things like that. They still question if there was something else they could have done differently, but those who don't leave anything behind and everything is kind of just done, I know from our experience, it was almost as though as when we were putting the pieces together as if it was planned. We don't know the extent of the plans, of course, but things were in order. The house was going to be listed for sale. Bank accounts were closed out. Things were circled in paperwork that said, hey, check this out, do this. It was thought through, but yet we were seeing him, you know, twice a week for dinners and visits and just playing pool, and we had always the best time. Towards the end, there would go a couple weeks that we didn't see him, and we thought nothing of it because, oh, he was busy, something came up, and we didn't realize that there was more to the situation. So you can't put that guilt on yourself because people can hide it. I've hidden it. I know friends that have hidden it. I know loved ones that have hidden it, and you can't put that guilt on yourself for what you could have done differently. There's nothing. There's nothing you could have done differently, because if there was, you would have done it. Coping with the aftermath of suicide involves such an array of emotions. There can be anger, not just with the person who passed away, but also at the situation with yourself. Like I said, you can turn this on yourself because you're all there is to be angry at. You can have that anger for the person who passed away, but you're the one in the mirror that you tend to look at. There's a need for understanding both within, again, yourself and others. As everyone affected tries to make sense of what happened, you can be constantly trying to understand and put the pieces together and almost like you're trying to put a puzzle together when half the pieces are missing. So it's damn near impossible and it's time consuming. And you know, in the end, it's not factual and it's never going to look the same. It's just going to be all jumbled still. But you still try because that's a sense of closure and busyness that you're trying to do. I can't explain it. But if you've gone through such a loss like that, or not understanding or questioning how somebody passed away and why so sudden, you understand it. It's a constant want to figure it out. And you think if you figure it out, it'll fix it. And then the daunting feeling of, even if you figured it out, even if you solved every single problem that came your way, even if you created such a masterpiece of why and what happened, it doesn't bring them back. And that's the heartbreaking moment of realization. It's crucial to emphasize that talking about your feelings and seeking therapy and relying on a support system are essential in the healing process of depression and suicidal thoughts. Sharing your pain with others can alleviate this burden and help you navigate through such big emotions that follow this loss. I myself did therapy. We speak about this all the time. I have a big one for therapy. I didn't know how to process these emotions. And nor was I going to burden my husband, I felt like, with these emotions. This was his dad. This was his loss. This wasn't mine to grieve, I felt. I had allowance to grieve. I was allowed to feel things. But I felt as though my feelings were minute. They were ant-sized compared to Mount Everest of his feelings. So silence me. That's how I felt. Of course, growing, aging, learning, that's not true. I could have spoken about them. I could have allowed him to speak about them. We both just kind of shut down in a moment. So you really have to allow yourself to speak out about these emotions, even in therapy. So in therapy, talking about, you know, even my husband's stuff, I would talk about my husband all the time and what he was going through. And it allowed me to understand something that I was too scared to ask about at the time. So that was super helpful for me after such a loss, was understanding from a professional what they might have been feeling that I just seen, you know, on the surface, and what I didn't know, the iceberg underneath. It was massive. It was massive. So if you're listening to this and struggling, please remember that it's okay to reach out for help and you're not alone. And there are people who want to listen and support you because your life matters and there's hope even in your darkest moments. It's time, friends. It's time to shop Sarah Bauer Boutique. Remember, www.sarahbauer.com. Each episode will now have it linked in the description box below for all my fashion friends. Remember, Sarah Bauer Boutique sells women's clothing and accessories that will always give them a reason to stare. Have a wonderful day and happy shopping. Now, more on the road that you take after losing a loved one to suicide is, it's a long road. Again, like I said, today, Halloween marks exactly 7 years since he passed, and I still can flash back to those moments, the phone calls, the driving, the not being able to process what was happening quick enough. You know, I lost my way in my own town. I laugh about it now because it's such a tell to what happens in your mind when something like that happens. it's unexplainable, other than the fact that I've lived in this town my whole life and I had to call somebody for directions to my local hospital. I couldn't get there. I couldn't find my way. I couldn't keep a steady speed. My feet were shaking, you know, let alone what my husband was going through, because we weren't together when we got the phone call. It's something unimaginable, something you'll never forget. You'll never forget the road you were on, the place you were in, what you were doing. I was changing my son's diaper when I got that phone call. Again, the laughter is just out of pure being able to recall the moments, because it's that life-changing. It's that crucial. I was at my grandpa's house. My husband was at work when he received the phone call. It's so life-changing. And you mark that moment in time, that moment, changing my son's diaper, I mark that moment in time as the rest of the next 7 years to come of the 30 different people I would meet within myself and my husband in the next 7 years, of the way this loss would now form who we were going to be. Recovering after losing a loved one to suicide is incredibly challenging. But it is possible to find the healing among the pain. More on the recovery process, of course, is grieving in your own time. There's no right or wrong way to grieve. Now, I say this with a grain of salt. I felt as though, not that I did it wrong, but my husband and I, like I said, we started drinking too much, kind of partying too much. It was the carelessness we wanted. We had so much on our plate that drinking allowed us to not forget. We knew what was going on, but to not be so serious. And of course, too much drinking brings the bad emotions, the being upset, the negativity. We went through all of this, and we thought, at least I thought, I can't speak for him, I thought that was helping me heal. I thought the more I drank, the more emotional I became, the more I was getting my feelings out, that was helping me. But it wasn't healing me. I could address the emotions. I could speak of the emotions. I could say how angry I was. I could say how, you know, this changed my life forever and how dare he. I could say all those things, but I wasn't treating myself. I was just expressing myself. I wasn't going, okay, but how can I process these emotions? How can I, you know, turn lemons into lemonade? These nasty, sour, disgusting lemons, how can I make this something that I can tolerate for my life? Obviously, lemons to lemonades, this was a bad version of that, you know, not a pleasant version. But how can I take what happened, because it's done, this is going on, and not allow it to wreck not only my family, and my son, and my husband, but how can I also be the backbone of this situation and go, hey, okay, this self-sabotage is too much. We're done with this. We can't do this. We have a family, and this is something that we need to recover from together and not separately. And I think I thought in my head more just so, how do we get past this and still be able to understand that this is devastating? It's devastating. You have to grieve on your own time. It's important to allow yourself that space to process your emotions at your own pace and be patient with yourself. You know, my husband and I, we were recovering differently, but in the same household. That's hard. That's hard. The loss of a loved one in any way, recovering with somebody and not separately, but also understanding that you do it differently is a difficult scenario to understand, but you don't see it at the time. You don't see it at the time. So you move forward, you process. And then when you speak about it, you think, God, I guess we could have talked about that. I guess both of us kind of disappearing separately at different times, knowing each one of us were struggling, but being too nervous to speak about it because we knew we needed to begin healing was hard. You know, we quit drinking after about a year and a half of it. And we started the road to self-recovery of what now, what are we going to be now? Who are we now? And there really is, it's so important to seek support in these situations, whether it be from your loved ones or support groups, therapists, counselors who specialize in grief and trauma. When I was looking for therapists, I would specifically ask if they specialized in grief and trauma situations, not only for what we had processed and gone through, but how I was dealing with it due to who I was. Who am I? And why am I processing it this way, but he processes it this way? There were so many angles I wanted to look at this for, because we weren't leaving each other. You know, this wasn't breaking our relationship. This wasn't hurting us. It was just hurting us individually. And we didn't know how to process it together. You know, together was a hard one, because it was such a taboo subject to even speak on, of how he passed. Of when your loved one passed of suicide, it's almost as though you feel disrespectful saying that they did. It's such a weird thing around mental health that needs to be spoken about. You can speak up about mental health. You can give people phone numbers. You can give people support systems. You can give them the phone number of a therapist. It's not crazy. It's not anything to be ashamed of when somebody passes away of a suicide, but yet it's kept hush hush because it's almost as if you feel like you're being disrespectful saying that they did that. Expressing your emotions, whether you're talking through or talking through it with someone you trust, or, you know, writing in your journal, of course, that's a huge one for me, or just even a creative outlet with music or art, expressing your feelings can help you make sense of that. So many songs I could relate to and understand, you know, the emotion behind the songs. I could feel it and hear it and scream it and cry to it. And part of my healing was that music. Part of my healing was talking through it. I think little bits of all of it was me honoring that memory and finding a way and a place to put it. Where do I put their memory? Because it's not doing me any good having it scattered around. You have to compartmentalize your emotions. We talk about this all the time. There has to be a place for it and a time for it. And of course, it's going to burst out of the box randomly sometimes, surprising you. But that's okay, as long as you know where to put it back. As long as you can place it back in its pretty little box and say, okay, this is where you go. And I understand sometimes there's a little bit of an earthquake and it gets shaken around and some of it spills. That's okay. I'm going to feel these emotions. I'm going to pick them up and I'm going to put them back in there because I know how to process you now. I know how to keep you safe. These memories can be safe. Honoring that memory, finding meaningful ways to honor your loved one's memory. This can be through, you know, of course, in the beginning, a memorial. We didn't have a funeral, a proper funeral, I would say, for Brett's dad. He didn't want that. So we held a gathering at our house with food and drinks. And I did our entire house full of pictures and exciting times. And of course, there were tears, but it was more of there's just love, surrounded with love. That day moving forward, I changed my own wishes on when I go. I want that. I wanted that. I didn't want to be in a church, or and I didn't want to be in a funeral home. I wanted to be in a loving home, in a loving space. And at that time for him, that was in our home. And that's where we hosted. So I think taking that with me was a huge thing. Again, he taught us. He was the most incredible man. Everybody aspired to be this man. So everything he's done in life and in death, I admire him. Still, I to this day admire him. Even with the taboo subject of mental health, he is my hero. Understanding that suicide is such a complex issue, often involving the struggles of mental health, it's important to educate yourself about them and educate yourself about the conditions. And suicide can provide insight, reduce the stigma, help make sense of the circumstances surrounding this loss. We have to understand it to recover from it. After dealing with my own mental health issues, I was able to look at his issues and say, I understand you. And it took my anger away. Now, I wouldn't wish mental health issues on anybody, of course. But you know me, looking for the purpose in everything. I felt as though I struggled with my mental health and all those things, not to only do this podcast, not to only talk to others about mental health, anxiety, depression, and growing to love yourself, but I also feel as though I went through them so I could stop being, having that anger that somebody just left me, that somebody just left me, made a mess, and was like, clean it up, I'm done, fuck you. And that's what sometimes suicide can feel like. It can feel like that. But you know, when I dealt with my own struggles after that, so it was, that happened in 2016. I dealt with mine in 2018, 2019, 2020. I understood it and it took that anger away. And then I started these episodes in 2020. And as I was recovering and as I was understanding my feelings and why all of a sudden they were coming up, I didn't put two and two together. You know, I quit drinking in the new year of 2019. So I was like, wow, this is what feeling every emotion I've suppressed in the past, you know, 2 years has done. It has brought up so many emotions that I didn't have a substance for. And that was me handling that. That was me trying to survive that. And now it was time to feel that. Now it was time to heal that. Now all those drunken, crying, awful nights, now it was time to find a box and put them in their place. They were scattered. They were everywhere. God, they were a mess. I had to do some major organizing. I didn't understand any feeling I'd ever felt before, I don't think, until I dealt with that. And that was when I learned what a big deal self-compassion is. And being kind to yourself. For so long, I looked at it as a weakness. I thought, no, I have so many other people to be here for. What are you talking about? I don't have time to take care of myself. That is the biggest disservice that you can do to yourself. You have to be kind and compassionate to yourself. You can't blame yourself for things that happen. Understand that you did your best with the knowledge and resources that you had at the time. How do you save somebody when you don't know they need saved? So practicing self-care and self-compassion as you navigate through this whole healing process is one of the most kind things you can do for yourself. And I know you sometimes feel you don't deserve the kindness because you missed something. Maybe this wouldn't have happened because if I had done something. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Like I said, when you're flying an airplane and those oxygen masks pop out, you have to save yourself first or you will be useless to everybody else. Okay. Have you heard the news? Spotify has amazing new ways to listen to your favorite music and podcasts. Be sure to turn on notifications to Loving Yourself Completely to never miss an episode. Download Spotify today for free. I think one of my things, of course, as I spoke about earlier, is finding meaning in it all, finding and understanding, while it may be extremely hard to see initially. This morning, I called my husband. It hit me this morning after I took my son to school that today was marked 7 years. I sobbed all the way home. I had to do my boutique deliveries to, you know, USPS and UPS. And of course, I'm wearing my sunglasses in there. I probably, if I took them off, they'd think somebody punched me in the face, but they probably thought I was going to rob them. It's freezing today. So I have a stocking cap on. I have a coat from, you know, that goes down to my knees. I'm wearing sunglasses and I have about 5-10 boxes in my hand full of, you know, deliveries. And I'm just standing there. From an outside perspective, I looked like a psycho. But it did. It hit me this morning after taking my son to school what day it was. And, it hit me the hardest because I thought to myself, man, my son would have just loved him. And that's when it got me. Because of how much love my husband and I had for him, I just knew how much my son would have loved him. So I called my husband when I got home, you know, as I always do. He's, you know, a driver, so he's on the road. And I kind of said, you know, how are you doing today? Are you, you know, I know today marks, I was like, I kind of get upset because today marks the 7 years, but I hate remembering it that way. I said, why can't I just like celebrate him on his birthday? Why is it that today is the day I think about him the most? Why can't I think about him this much on his birthday or something? But no, it's because that core memory was made so ingrained into my mind for today that this is what popped up. And he said, I know, and I think about it too. But then he goes, I also think about today marking the day that created who I am now. And I love who I am now. Said, if it had to happen, if that was the reason that I had to go down like that, you know, this created who I am. And I love who I am. And I'm somebody that, you know, he's somebody that is like his dad. And I'm proud that he is the father of my son. So if all three of them can be exactly alike, I would be forever grateful. And that is what sparked that moment for me. Because all of them are such amazing, kind, gracious, selfless souls that I am lucky enough to be a part of. And I almost feel as if I don't deserve it sometimes. I go, wow, like, am I an imposter? Like, you guys are so perfect that who am I to you? Because how perfect are you? And I didn't grow up that way. I didn't, you know, Brett grew up, my husband grew up in the most loving way you can imagine. And my son is growing up that way too. And I am fighting against how I grew up to no fault. You know, it's my own process now. Now I got to fight against it. And that's of course why I created this podcast and we talk through it. And I address my own sensitivities and my own people pleasing moments from how I perceived my childhood and how I perceived me going through, you know, my adolescent years and my early 20s and bad relationships. And I got to process my own way. But those three men, in my eyes, are absolute perfection no matter what they went through. So becoming like them and being a part of their family has definitely been the biggest blessing I've ever received in my whole life. So finding meaning is exactly what he did. And that set me into my place of my tears. And I go, yeah. So many times I think about what it would be like had, you know, we all do. We think about what would it be like if we didn't lose that person? What would life have become? And instead, we need to think about how our life did plan out and how it did play out. And whether it be positive or negative, that maybe these processes we did have to go through. The negativity that followed both my husband and I for years, I didn't think would end. I didn't think I would ever process it. I didn't know if I would ever learn how to properly, strategically, in an organized manner, know how to handle those emotions. I thought they're too big. They're too big. So many times we think our emotions are too big. I don't know how I will ever fit all of these into this box. But you do, because you sort and you go, don't need this one, this one can stay. Don't need this one can stay. And as I worked through, as we spoke about, working through the emotions of the anger and the guilt and the grief and trying to find that self-compassion that you keep, going through those, you can toss out the other ones. But you have to go through them. You have to process that. You don't have to keep them. They don't have to be taped in that box. But they can have a small part in it. They can be shoved off into the corner, but you can toss out the big parts of them. And you're going to feel sad still. Like I said, driving today, I just burst into tears after taking my son to school. I had no idea. I had no idea that emotion I was holding in. And I don't necessarily think holding in. I think just remembering and in such an honor and a memory that they still play such a big part in my life. And that he made such an impact of my life and who I'm married to and the son I have. It was all because of him. And my thankfulness and gratitude towards ever even knowing him overflowed out of me. So my husband found that meaning now. And while it may have been initially hard to see, and some people find meaning in their experience by channeling that pain into understanding, that's what you do. And that's what I did. But raising awareness about mental health, suicide prevention, and supporting others can give you a sense of purpose. And I think finding my purpose in a roundabout way of that and wanting the people around me to feel good and love themselves and know that they're not alone and know that no matter what you go through, it's never bigger than you. You're always bigger than the situation. You just have to change your perspective on why. And it's a long process and it's not going to happen overnight. accepting that, I hate this phrase, but it works in this situation, accepting that new normal, that grieving doesn't mean you have to forget those hard feelings, and that it can mean finding a way to move forward with them just in your heart and not scattered in your brain everywhere, every day, constantly letting it drain you. Over time, you'll learn to live with that loss and integrate it into your life. Your perspective on life may change, and you might find a deeper appreciation for these moments that you have. And I definitely did. I think that's the biggest outcome that I've come across, is how much my life changed after losing somebody. And I don't know if suicide, if it wasn't that way, if it was a car accident, if it was cancer, if it was something else, I don't know if it would have been different. I try not to look at it that way. What if it was a car accident? What if it was a sickness? You know, the way we lose people plays a role in how we move on with it and how we carry it along and who it turns us into. Had I lost somebody, you know, in a slow process to cancer, or in a quick process of car accident, or something else besides suicide, would it had drastically have changed my life this way? Would I have struggled processing it as much? Would I have had a chance to grieve while they were still here? Those moments, you can look at that way. But you can also look at, how did I choose to make a deeper appreciation for the moments I have? And I chose to never take my mental health for granted, and to never take my people and my life for granted, ever. I choose the ones who treat me well, and I hold them as close as I can. And that means that I have higher standards for the people in my life. And I do. Maybe they're too high, but I can't process them any other way. I love with my whole heart. Every moment I'm with you, I give it my all. If you love me, you get that same love back. But if you're on the fence, I'm already over the fence. I'm gone. You don't have to make that decision. I do. Professional help is a huge thing, and I really want to keep stressing that in this episode. If your pain feels overwhelming and unimaginable, whether you're experiencing suicidal thoughts or you've lost somebody from suicide, please do not hesitate to seek professional help. Therapists and counselors can provide that guidance that is catered to your specific situation, okay? Helping you cope with this unimaginable loss and grief, or struggles with your own thoughts in your local area, or if you were in specific counties or countries. I might have said that wrong, but there are tailored numbers for suicide crisis lines, hotlines. You can text, you can call, reach out. Remember, recovery and mental health, it's not linear. There will be ups and downs, good days, bad days. It's okay to seek help. Lean on others. Take the time you need to heal. Again, healing doesn't mean you're forgetting. It means you're finding a way to carry the love and the memories and the love that they had for you and you them, you find a way to carry it forward with you in a different way. It might be different. It's going to be different. It's going to be a different love. It's probably going to be an overwhelming love. But you find a way on your own, to nobody else's device that is the same, and you do it for yourself. I can't talk to somebody next to me who's dealt with the same loss and move forward the same way. We can have things we relate on. We can have things that we understand. We can have all the feelings of getting through something, but how we come out the other end is completely in a singular manner. You have to do it on your own. You can have the support. You can have the guidance. You can have every piece of help manageable to you and by your side to help guide you through it. But how you come out the other side is solely related to you in your own individual way on how you do it. Mornings are already rough, so why not make it easier with Javi? J-A-V-Y. Javi Coffee is dairy-free, sugar-free, gluten-free, plant-powered, non-GMO, and ethically sourced. Javi Coffee is so simple. You take 1 to 2 teaspoons, pour it in hot or cold water, put in your favorite toppings or creamer, and you're on the go. No stops in the morning, no waiting in line, no getting that machine out that you don't even know if it's clean. Drink Javi Coffee and get 20% off with Sarah, S-A-R-A, 43934 today. Javi Coffee will change your whole morning mood. Drink Javi today. I hope so many of you found this episode helpful in the sense that you are not alone, and that a journey after losing such a crucial person in your life, a loved one, it's a long journey, but it is one that you can see the light at the end of, I promise you. And if you're listening to this and struggling, please remember that it's okay to reach out for help. You're not alone. And there are people who want to listen to you, who want to support you, because your life matters and the person you lost matters. And there is hope even in these dark moments. Of course, you can always write in to lovingyourselfcompletely@gmail.com. You can write in to our Instagram page messengers. I respond on there as well. Continue loving yourself completely and those around you. But know that you are in charge of nobody's life but your own, and to your knowledge of what you know about others. When people come to you, be there for them. But if they haven't and they didn't, you do not have to take on that burden of guilt or shame. Mental health is real. And it can be good or it can be bad, but no matter what, it exists and we need to start treating it as such. Continue loving yourself completely. Thank you for listening to this episode. Thank you for all the new listeners. And I hope that this episode was extremely helpful. And if you need anything, never hesitate to reach out. Bye. Please feel free to share this episode with anybody you know who's struggling and may benefit from hearing this episode. Have a wonderful day.